At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. Hi, welcome to the Table Talk podcast. I'm really excited today because we have two pharmacists joining us that actually have not been on the podcast before. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So my name is Melody Hartzler. I'm the owner and CEO of Farm to Table, and I'll have Pearl introduce herself first.
Hey everybody, my name is Pearl Lee, and I am, of course, part of the Farm to Table team. However, I've been in the hospital for the past 15 years, primarily working in pediatrics. And for functional medicine, my focus has been primarily on hormones, gut health, skin health.
Awesome. And tell everyone where you're located.
I am located in Maryland.
Awesome. So if you are listening, a listener in Maryland, Pearl is your gal. All right. And then Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jastrom. I frequently go by Sarah J. I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota. And been on the Farm to Table team for quite some time.
Yes, she's one of our originals.
I've worked in retail. I've worked in pharmacy benefit. So that's like the insurance side. And I'm now just full time. And I'm actually really excited about stool testing. And one laugh about in the group is that I tend to be the pharmacist that is always bringing up, to put it politely. And this is a topic that tends to get kind of near and dear to my heart just because I like to make sure everyone is moving regularly.
Yes. Yes, we all do. That's awesome. Cool. And Sarah, what is your passion about stool testing? But is there anything else you're passionate about as far as functional medicine goes?
I tend to focus a lot on kind of the simple things that we maybe overlook sometimes, like when it comes to like sleep hygiene. I'm a big proponent of helping people increase like their daily consumption of vegetables and talking about how to kind of slow down and simplify your life to end up achieving optimal wellness. And so I will see patients who, you know, oh, I have trouble sleeping, or maybe I'm talking to people who have chronic autoimmune, and we're like, okay, well, let's start at the basics.
Yeah, so much so that she's very passionate about nutrition. She likes to grow her own foods and garden, and even has some grow lights behind her today. Yep. That are growing food in her kitchen, which is awesome.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully one day we'll get lemons.
Ooh, okay. Lemon, like a tree? Or you're growing lemons in the kitchen?
So wow. It's my living room, and I have a Meyer lemon tree, and then we've got a couple orange trees that we've grown from seed, and hopefully we'll... The lemon is close. Hopefully we'll get it to
really
flower
cool.
In the next year.
Can you grow avocados there too? Because I always say I want to live somewhere where I can have an avocado tree in the backyard.
Well, not outside.
Those are so expensive.
Not outside in Minnesota. No.
Okay, right. Not outside in Minnesota. Yes. But in your living room.
Maybe. We have tried. We've tried a number of times, and they all tend to meet sticky ends.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. You'll have to keep us updated on those things. But today we are going to talk about stool testing. So actually, we've talked recently about gut health. We talked, our last podcast was about probiotics, prebiotics, symbiotics. So this podcast is really a follow-up to that, to say, okay, if you're coming to a functional medicine practitioner or you're having trouble with certain conditions, maybe a stool test is the best next step for you to sort of be that help in deciding which of the bazillion probiotic products or potentially prebiotic or symbiotic products that you might take. So Sarah's going to lead us off a little bit with what is a comprehensive stool test and who should get a stool test done.
Sure. So comprehensive stool testing is something that might be recommended by your provider, or perhaps you are doing lab testing, searching online, and find a direct-to-consumer test. And they're really going to be any test that provides a much more detailed information about gut health beyond kind of your standard stool culture. So standard stool culture might be what you get from like a conventional doctor's office, where they're just going to look at very basic things. The stool test is going to be much more comprehensive. They're going to look more at your beneficial bacteria, overall bacterial balance. They might be figuring out if there are any pathogens, so things that might be actually making you sick, or potentially pathogenic bacteria. So I often describe this to patients like bullies on the playground. They're ones that if they're out of balance, they tend to wreak havoc on the system. But if you have enough good bacteria or, you know, good kids on the playground, they kind of keep them in check. It might test for yeast or parasites. Sometimes those can be add-ons to the comprehensive stool test. So that's something to kind of check into when you are looking at which tests to do. But then it's really a helpful thing to look at more of a overall picture of gut health. So, you know, it'll break down a lot of components, but really when you're looking at the results, it's going to be something where you're looking at a big picture versus more of the minutiae. And it's going to include potential information on how you're digesting your food, potential absorption, some immune function that's happening in the gut, maybe if there's some inflammation, and then also how those bacteria are working in your gut as well. So you might say like, okay, well, why would I need all of this information? Like, how would this information help me? And it can be helpful if you have like an issue going on in, that's directly gut related, right? So maybe acid reflux, if you have gas, bloating, abdominal pain, maybe constipation or diarrhea, you cycle between the two. If you've been diagnosed with irritable bowel or inflammatory bowel disease or diverticulitis, it could be helpful to get a better picture of what's going on in the gut. And you may also consider it if you have maybe non-GI related conditions that we know tend to have their root in the gut. So food intolerances, maybe some rashes, hives, acne, depression and anxiety might be something that you're looking at the gut because we know a lot of neurotransmitters are made in the gut. But remember that even though there's a lot of these things might be going on and you're like, maybe I should do this stool test, you really want to make sure that you are working on your lifestyle as well, because those major health behaviors are really important to help improve systems. And a comprehensive stool test isn't going to tell you, you know, you need to get better sleep or we need to eat better, a more optimized diet. But once you have those in place, it might be really helpful to dig deeper and get a better picture about what's going on.
Yeah, one of the patient populations that I think about is the autoimmune population. And sometimes they have gut dysbiosis. And I find this a lot in men, that women tend to have more of the symptoms. We feel the gut pain, the bloating, all of that a little bit more partially because of our hormones. But for men, sometimes when they have dysbiosis, they don't feel anything different. And generally, at least in my experience, I've had several patients with type 1 diabetes that are diagnosed as adults and autoimmune diabetes. And looking at their gut is one of the steps, because it's like, okay, you had this inflammation. We talk about the immune system being in the gut so much and how impactful that inflammation in the gut can be to the rest of the systems in the body. And generally, when we dig a little deeper in those patients, they do have some kind of dysbiosis or inflammation going on, despite the fact that they don't have symptoms. So sometimes that's where it's like, okay, we want to get this stool test. And the insurance is like, you don't have gut symptoms. So we have to figure out what that looks like from the payment standpoint. Unfortunately, the code of an autoimmune disease does not pay for the gut test yet, even though we know that they're connected. Well, let's talk a little bit about what are the different types of tests. So there's a lot of different ways that different companies, you've probably seen direct-to-consumer marketing for stool tests. There's people sequencing your whole microbiome, sort of DNA sequencing. And then there's also different tests that look at cultures. So just to break it down a little bit, a culture-based stool test, this is where the scientists or the people working in the lab have a small amount of stool that they add to a petri dish. And then they look at it under a microscope for a certain amount of time. So they're looking at the growth and what kinds of things are growing there. One of the challenges with this, I think it's good to have a stool test that actually has multiple different components and looks at things in different ways, because sometimes we find things on culture that we didn't find in another place because we weren't looking for them. And I'll explain that in a second. But the problem with culture, though, is that it does favor rapidly growing oxygen-loving microbes, whereas most of the microbes in the human gut are anaerobic bacteria. So they're bacteria that don't like as much oxygen and don't need as much oxygen to survive. So the most important bacteria in the human gut really can't be effectively studied by culture. And so culture does miss a big portion of the human microbiome. It doesn't mean that it's not helpful in looking at the overall picture of some of those microbes that might be causing problems. it just means that it's not going to tell us everything that we need to know by just doing a stool culture. And that's where, when Sarah was talking about your standard, what your doctor typically orders if you have problems, looking at a few different PCRs for very specific organisms that, you know, E. coli or things that we well known cause diarrhea or C. diff or things like that, or does a culture, but the culture that can be done at your general labs typically doesn't show very much, if anything. When we look a little bit deeper on these tests, we also see that we have options for DNA-based molecular techniques. And this is where we do more of a gene sequencing. So this is where, and you guys are probably familiar with some of these terminology now that we've done testing for different microbes and things in the pandemic, but this particular one is a 16SR RNA gene sequencing and actually looks for particular genes that all bacteria have as part of their fingerprint. And so this bacterial fingerprint can help distinguish one bacteria from another. And then matching up these fingerprints to known database of sequences can help us learn which bacteria are present in abundance and which are less abundant. It does get less accurate at the species level and really can't tell us much about, if anything, about fungi or parasites. So these are some of the more direct-to-consumer ones that we see. Lately, there's one called Thrive with a THRYVE, Biome American Gut Atlas Biomed. And then when we think about the pandemic, we were doing PCR testing for COVID, right? So we can also do PCR testing for the gut microbiome. So we can do targeted or quantitative. So we can test the amount or just see if something is there. And so this is looking for specific sequences that are looking for the DNA of these microbes. And the issue with this is that we're only looking for what we're looking for. So it depends on how many primers a specific lab uses. For example, some labs might use 20 and other labs might be looking for the 15 most common pathogenic species in the human gut. Those would be more useful than a lab that only assesses 5 common pathogens, like are some of our typical ones I mentioned. So we want a lab that looks for a lot of them and looks for the most abundant commensal microbes in the gut. And so again, like it could miss things because we're only looking for what we're looking for. And then there is a new process called metagenomics. And so this method is more of a whole genome, next generation, sometimes called shotgun sequencing, where they use deep sequencing to identify every gene in the gut and sequence the microbiome that we have known to science. Some people would consider this the most accurate way to determine the relative and absolute abundance of the microbes. It can provide information about functional capabilities of microbes. It can be more expensive for patients. So there are companies like Thorne Microbiome Labs, Sun Genomics, Smart DNA, and Microbio that do that. So that's an option. I will say that sometimes those tests aren't as helpful to me as a clinician because some of them don't have some of the other markers we're going to talk about, like inflammatory markers or digestive markers, calprotectin, things like that. So I think we're still like looking for like the test that has like all of these things together. But there is there's another process called metatranscriptomics and metabolomics that also assesses the metabolic output of the gut microbiome and sort of asks the question, who is there? What are they doing? And so again, this one is a little bit harder for clinical use. Like it's helpful. Viome uses this type of sequencing, there's a lot of good information there, but I think it's harder to interpret and decide what do we do with this information that we got to be able to implement a plan or what we call a 5R, which we've talked about a lot before on the podcast. So I'm going to kick it off to Pearl and have her go over sort of what we're looking for in those stool tests.
Certainly. So with this stool testing, we look at overall balance in your bacteria. So we're looking at the diversity and balance in different strains and potential pathogenic bacteria. We're focusing on the commensal, which are the good bacteria, and keystone bacteria, opportunistic, which are overgrown microbes. We can detect fungi or yeast, viruses, and even parasites that are more common than we think. So looking at these patterns, we can look at your symptoms and the patterns and see, develop a treatment plan for your symptoms.
Yeah. And so I think these pieces are really important to think about because like when we were talking before about the different ways we look at these things, those are mostly related to the commensals and the potential pathogens that we're looking at. And some tests have markers of maldigestion, like that pancreatic elastase, which if that's high, it can mean you're not digesting carbohydrates effectively. If you have high fecal fat, you're not digesting your fats effectively. And if you have excess protein in the stool, it means you're not digesting protein well. So that really gives us a clue to maybe where some of this dysbiosis started or how we actually are going to get to the root cause by helping correct some of those maldigestion processes. And then as far as the markers of inflammation that Pearl mentioned, we have the calprotectin and the secretory IgA, but those are really keys to, is your body mounting this immune response and is there intestinal permeability? There's also one we didn't mention called zonulin that can be a marker of intestinal permeability. Sometimes we actually measure that more effectively in blood and look at that marker. If there's intestinal permeability, the zonulin is typically high. And so all of these pieces of the puzzle together can really help us put that over top your symptoms and say, okay, here's the plan that we need to do to sort of correct and rebalance the body. I will say that while each test has some imperfections and not any test is absolutely the most perfect thing out there, I think that it guides us and helps us get to a better place for our patients faster than when we just try to shoot in the dark and say, oh, you know, you have anxiety, you have constipation, I feel like you have yeast overgrowth, let's treat that. Certainly we could do that and it might not cause much harm, but it's time that it's taking us and money that it's taking the patient and not feeling better as quickly. So if we can actually dive deeper, figure out what is actually causing the problem using these labs, again, overlaying them with the patient's symptoms, making sure that we're not just throwing the symptoms out the window or throwing the tests out the window. We want to put them together and figure out what's the best case scenario for a patient. Sometimes, you know, patients have had a lot of symptoms and their test comes back like great. And I'm like, what is going on here? How does this person's stool test look amazing? And they're having abdominal pain and having all kinds of GI discomfort. And in those cases, maybe we don't do as significant of a antimicrobial regimen that maybe we thought we would have done based on hearing their symptoms. Maybe it's more of that food first approach and adjusting, you know, what probiotics we're using or prebiotics and things like that. So it really helps guide the practitioner in really deciding what with you as you as the partner in your care, what is the best step forward, and hopefully will help you get there faster than if we didn't test at all. Sarah, do you want to say anything about your personal, I don't know if you want to share your personal experience with how this type of testing has helped you?
Sure.
Since you're very open with these things.
Yes. The first time was quite some time ago. And stool testing has since come a long way when I had that test done. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting you bring up the markers of, let's see, I actually have one pulled up. So hold on, let me, the digestion and absorption markers. The original stool test that I did, I was suffering from like a lot of GI complaints and not really being able to add foods back in after doing elimination diet. I had a food sensitivity panel that had a bunch of things, you know, super random things like cranberries and pecans and like all sorts of things were lighting up. And it took the person I was working with pretty deep dive to say, you know what, I don't think you're digesting your food. Like, I don't think that it's not necessarily a bacterial problem. And it's not necessarily that you actually have real serious food sensitivities that need to be addressed, but really you're just not breaking down your food. And so that led to a course of acid supplementation. And it was one of those, I feel like everybody kind of has these in the functional medicine world, right? Where you have like the one thing where you're like, they hit the nail on the head and you did something and you were like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. That was great because after the acid supplementation, I went through the whole protocol. I was able to add all my foods back in, my digestion re-regulated, all sorts of things balanced back out. And it was just that one little bit of between my symptoms and then kind of looking and saying like, okay, well, most things look good on this test, but there's this one part that was off, you know, led towards a much more, I think, appropriate course of action because we had been doing a bunch of other stuff prior.
Yeah.
My current stool test is little less interesting, I think. And still, I don't have answers. We're still working on it. That's a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good point to bring up that a lot of this is a work in progress. So your journey to your health is sometimes like climbing a hill and falling back down a little bit. You know, you've got ups and downs. And it's always in the right trajectory as far as like going up, but occasionally there are times where we have setbacks and we have to reevaluate our health. And, you know, that could be because you had a viral trigger of something and that kicked in some stress and that affected your health in a way. But I think it's always important to remember that, you know, once we get well again and we start thriving, if we have a setback, it's not our fault. There's a lot of time where we have to sort of regroup and evaluate the stool again, potentially. I probably need to do one again myself. Recently, I was sick for like 2 months in November and December, and I feel like my gut is just not where it was before that. So I need to reassess and see where to go from there. But yeah, my personal story too is that I did a stool test when my first was having abdominal pain and probably was SIBO, but I didn't know what SIBO was then, which is a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And one of these tests that we did, you know, showed a specific bacteria and showed an antibiotic treatment that potentially was going to be the corrective factor for that. But the provider that I was working with at the time just prescribed the antibiotic without any other like follow through as far as thinking about other pieces of the puzzle. And, you know, we think about even matrices that form biofilms in the gut that can be, or yeast that can be going on, as well as the bacteria. And then the antibiotic makes that worse. And so mine was more of an extended journey because I was still trying to find the right practitioner to help me with that and learning about it on my own. But the stool test was sort of the starting point of finding I had a bacterial strain that was also histamine generating strain that was overgrown. And then later found, okay, you probably had yeast, or maybe the antibiotic contributed to further yeast overgrowth, and then treated yeast and things like that down the line. It is a journey for a lot of people, but the stool test can definitely be a guiding point. But you definitely want to work with a practitioner that's going to look at the whole picture of everything that is going on and not just, oh, here's your antibiotic, you're going to feel better. And sometimes that's most often that's not the case.
If I may share my
journey.
So I did not have any gut symptoms, but my functional medicine provider convinced me to take a stool test, which I did not think I needed because I ate tons of vegetables, very healthy, and I was low carb, so I wasn't eating things that would cause dysbiosis. But she convinced me to do a stool test. And the most informative marker on there was, we didn't get around to discussing it, but beta-glucuronidase. Yeah. Because my issues were mainly hormonal. So mine was high, which meant I was recycling my estrogens and it was causing my estrogens to be high, heavier cycles, and just overall hormone imbalance. You know, progesterone, I became estrogen dominant, so progesterone was low and having those low progesterone symptoms. So even though I had no gut symptoms, this test was so informative for me. And I think it's what led to pregnancy for me, because fertility was my issue that I was taking help with. So there are things that you just don't think about would help with the stool testing. But that and skin issues that I've always had my whole life that are finally resolving, because after taking this test, I realized I needed to focus on my gut health. The last thing you would think about, you would put on topical, you would cut out inflammatory food to fix my leaky gut. So,
yeah, that's a great example of, like you said, not having GI symptoms, but the actual root cause of your other symptoms as far as the hormone dysregulation actually were partially from the gut. And I think the thing people don't realize too is, like, when we say like the foundation of things is in the gut, like that's one piece of it. There's often like lots of different pieces of the puzzle going on at the same time that we have to look at all in balance. And so, but for you, that was a big piece. So that was really exciting that, and you're having a baby soon, because we're coming soon.
Yes. I think it's stool testing. And then I ate tons of kimchi and sauerkraut, and that's what fixed it.
That's right, awesome. Right? Yes, those cruciferous veggies, getting that estrogen out of there. Yeah, so that's awesome. So we've got lots of different personal examples of how stool testing has made an impact. I mean, we could talk about patient examples for a long time about patients that have never felt so well in their life after going through not only stool testing, but going through 5-hour protocols and really cleaning up their diet and having targeted supplementation. And I think that's a piece where this really helps, is finding those what is the most important supplement, or what are the supplements that are going to be beneficial for me? Because the supplement industry, there's just so many options out there. And if you just keep buying things because you read somebody's Amazon review about it, or, you know, you read a blog post about it, like, that's great, but that's not necessarily you. You are an individual. Your microbiome is individual. It's had individual effects on it as far as, you know, were you breastfed? Were you a C-section baby? Did you have antibiotics growing up or really early in the first couple years of life? Like, there's lots of factors that affect your microbiome. And that's the awesome part about functional medicine, is that we look at all of those things and not just throw things at you, because that's the typical standard protocol for everybody. So anything else you guys want to say about stool testing?
Something that you brought up, Melody, I think is just an important thing to keep in mind. And it is about the choice of practitioner. And I think, Pearl, you highlighted it as well, is that finding the right practitioner is part of the journey, and having somebody who's willing to, like, both partner with you and then also dig deeper and then also stand by what, you know, what they know. So, like, Melody, in your case, where you're like, I know that I need more than just antibiotics, and, like, learning on your own and being like, okay, I need a different provider because this provider is not giving me the full answer. And, like, Pearl, your provider who is like, nope, I really think this is an important thing for you to do because here's all these connections that we maybe wouldn't originally think about, right? Like, when you look for a provider, you really want to know that you can partner with them well, but then also that they're going to really, like, be in your corner and do those deeper dives and do that maybe potential more research. So, like, my provider in the past, she really had to, I was like, look, you have all this test, you have all this information, I'm not getting better. Like, figure out why I'm not getting better, please. And she came back and she was like, I was stumped. I had to do extra learning. And finding providers who are willing to go that extra mile for you, I think, is really beneficial. And I think that's something that functional medicine, like, hopefully the functional medicine providers that you're working with or the ones on our team are going to actually go the extra mile for you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And I appreciate you guys joining the first Table Talk podcast. And you guys know where to find us. We are at farmtotable, PharmToTable.life, LIFE. And if you're looking for a provider that's willing to partner with you on that journey, you can find us there. And we will see you next time. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.